Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
Are you a successful person when you graduate and come through this program and have developed those habits? That's the biggest thing for me. I've put a lot of thought into that. Like, what do I want for these student athletes? It's developing the right habits, building the right relationships. And once they graduate, are they prepared to go into the real world?
And our guest this week is Michael Childs. He is the head coach of the Arcadia University women's wrestling program, building the program from scratch. Mike, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So as we are recording this, you guys just made your program debut recently, correct?
Sunday at the Princeton Open, yes.
Now, you've been on the job for a year and a half getting ready for this. What was it like, results aside, to just kind of see all the work that led to that moment be put into action?
A lot of fun. I hadn't been that nervous in a while, but that, as I told my athletes, that means you care. So, yeah, no, it was really neat to see them compete. Women's wrestling, for the most part, is still relatively new. It's new to Arcadia. This is the first year the NCAA sponsored it. So it was a long time coming, I was really glad that we performed well. They had fun. There were a lot of smiles, a couple of tears, but it was a really good day. It really was.
How many times had you run through what that first day of competition was going to be like in your head in all these days as you've been preparing?
A couple times. I've had anxiety in the past, and I've trained myself to kind of focus on the day. All that will take care of itself in the future. So you prepare and you plan. You get them ready. I've been to hundreds of wrestling tournaments as a competitor and or coach. So at the end of the day, I don't like that expression, but it was just another wrestling tournament. It was the first for Arcadia, but it was just another wrestling tournament. I've done it hundreds of times before. So it was a lot of fun. And to seeing the girls kind of come together and cheer each other on, and you know, we're forming a team. And it's a cliche, but we're trying to build a family. And we had, at the start, we had 15 girls. We're now down to 13. But from all sorts of different backgrounds from three different states, seeing them come together and cheer each other on was really neat to watch.
So you took the job, I think it was April of 24.
Yes.
And as we mentioned, you're building this from scratch. So first of all, why did this opportunity speak to you?
Well, Arcadia has a wonderful reputation for academics. And my sister, she got her doctorate in physical therapy from there. So I knew of the academic reputation.
I was at a place in my life where I was ready to be a head coach. I started my career from Drexel. After I graduated from Drexel, three shoulder operations in 5 years. My last year, couldn't compete. I didn't want another one, another operation. So Friends Select opened up. They were looking for an assistant coach. I worked with Ken Bailey for a season. And after that, he had been there for quite some time. He told me, you know what you're doing. I would like you to be the head coach. So I was a head coach at Friends Select for 2 years and then a head coach at Springfield Township High School right down the road from Arcadia for 4 years. The majority of the beginning of my coaching career, I was a head coach and realized I had a lot to learn. So continued to find opportunities where I could learn from people that I respected. So after Springfield, I moved overseas and was a head wrestling coach at a MMA gym in Scotland for a year. And then I came back and did a year of grad school at Penn State, and I worked with an Indy Lion wrestling club. From there, Davidson College down in North Carolina, I was an assistant there, 4 years at Franklin and Marshall. So I was gathering all these experiences. And at that time, I felt I was ready, and I was at a place in my life where I could be a head coach. Because as you know, coaching is not a 9-to-5 gig. It's constant. And I had the support from my wife. Actually, that's how we met. When I was at Franklin and Marshall, she was the athletic trainer for the Princeton wrestling team. So we met at the Rutgers Gymnasium at the EIWA tournament. So that's our meet-cute story. So yeah, wrestling has done a lot for me. I never thought I'd meet my wife because of it. So fast forward, we got married, starting our family. She works in medicine. I decided that I'd be a stay-at-home dad. So we have two young boys. So for 5 years, I was a stay-at-home dad. I knew I wanted to keep my foot in the door with college wrestling. Around that same time, Joe Jamison got the head coaching job at Ursinus, knew I was at home. He asked me to come on board as a part-time assistant. So I was able to keep my foot in the door with coaching at the collegiate level, with wrestling while, you know, a fun and very, probably my most important job, raising two little boys. And it was just, when Arcadia came up, it felt like a really, really good fit. You know, I didn't want to move my family. My wife has a very, really good job. She was all in because I needed her. Okay, yes, we can do this. So we can, again, because it's not a 9-to-5 gig. There's recruiting calls at night. Yeah, it's a lifestyle. And she, coming from college athletics, she understood that. So it was, I had that support system at home. And here we are. Yeah, it's been a fun ride. It really has. And it's just beginning. It really is. You know, I get those questions when recruits come on campus, you know, coach, are you going to be here? And this is not a stepping stone job for me. This is it's a wonderful school, a great area. My family is happy. And it's an opportunity to build something from scratch and kind of put your stamp on it. And those opportunities don't come along too often. So I'm really excited for what's going to happen. So, but again, focus on the day because that's all we have.
To the point of building it from scratch, you get hired in April 2024. Mm-hmm. Where do you start?
Great question. Actually calling people that I trust and that I admire. So I had conversations with my dad, former coaches at F&M. They have a wonderful program there. Talked to Coach Joe Jamison. And then, again, trusting kind of my instinct, the first thing, Arcadia has never had wrestling before. So what do you do? How do you expose Arcadia to the, I don't want to say the masses? So I was on the road quite a bit, going to high-level tournaments. And in Pennsylvania, it's synonymous with wrestling. We come from a fantastic area between Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Ohio. You know, the Northeast is a hotbed of wrestling. So just getting out there, talking to club coaches, talking to high school coaches, letting us know, hey, Arcadia Wrestling exists. It could be and will be a pretty special place to go to college. So that's kind of – and then, you know, going through databases of, okay, here are the top national recruits, making contact with them. Essentially, it was throwing out a big net and seeing what kind of came back. Arcadia does have a good academic reputation, and essentially that's why you should go to school, is for the academics. So kind of started going through with an Excel spreadsheet. Okay, above a 3.0, these are their accolades. Okay, this could be a good fit if they're interested in the health sciences We're known for that. So that from an academic standpoint, I think we have 72 majors at the university. So, you know, kind of going through that and then just sending out lots of emails and then having lots of phone calls and then, you know, building those relationships, because that's essentially at the end of the day, coaching to me is about the relationship. So building that relationship. And that's where it started.
When you're coming in and building something from scratch, what's the conversation with administration as far as, all right, we want to be successful, we're going to need this from a facility standpoint. Yeah. What are our options? Is this possible? Like, how much of that did you have to go through? Because I don't know what was the knowledge base on the other side that when they're bringing you in, like, okay, we can do this, that, and the other thing. Like, did they know what they needed to put forth a quality wrestling program?
I do have to say the administration at Arcadia is they're impressive. There was a lot of forethought that went into, you know, what is the program going to look like? Prior to me getting there, they had already purchased former Bishop McDevitt, and they already had plans in place of turning it into a wrestling facility there. So from a facility standpoint, they already had that in place. And construction started back last October. We were able to move into our offices in June. And it's been a soft opening since. You know, branding has been going up. You know, I was part of the process of, you know, ordering the wrestling mats and designing that. And, you know, from the locker rooms, what does that look like? So we had a hand in that process. But from a structural standpoint, they had really done their homework. And we're really fortunate to have the facility that we do. You know, it's a great selling point for us. So, again, the state of Pennsylvania, you have Penn State, Lehigh, kind of those facilities, and we're right behind it. You know, we have over 3 full mats. We have turf for all sorts of exercises that we do. We have a full complement of cardio equipment. We have a weight room that's attached. We have a men's and women's locker room. We have coach's office. We have athletic training. We have laundry. We have everything that we need to be successful at a really, really high level. And at the D3 level, that is it's not too common. So we're really fortunate from a facility standpoint. I think where we can, as coaches, help them a lot is kind of sharing the nuance of the sport in terms of the scoring and what does a match look like. We had a meeting last week. We're hosting our first try meet on Sunday. Okay, how does this operate? You know, a 12 o'clock match, 11 o'clock you have weigh-ins, skin checks right before that. Do you do those in the locker room? Okay, we have 3 teams in, so we'll need a bigger space for that. So just kind of running – making them familiar with the operational side of hosting an event. And then from the scoring, what does that look like? Because women compete in freestyle, men are folk style. So a double leg is still a double leg, but how it's scored is different. So just kind of taking them through the steps of from a scoring and just, you know, what it looks like from a fan perspective and all that stuff.
From when you come on board, when did it start to feel like your program? And what I mean by that is, when did it go from kind of like an amorphous idea concept to something that you felt you could tangibly see coming together? Was there a moment where you kind of looked around and went, oh, okay, we're getting there? Or, you know, what did anything – I would just imagine so much planning and so much going through things, and then eventually you turn the corner to where, okay, the roster, all right, these kids are excited to be here and we can start looking at X, Y, and Z. Like, when do you feel like it kind of changed?
Probably our first team meeting. We had 15 different girls from 4 different states coming together for the first time. And wrestling, it's a small sport. So some of them had known one another, either competing against or been on a same team at some point. But that first team meeting and seeing them, all 15 of them, and myself and my assistant coach in a room together, that was special for me. And then laying out the expectations. Why are we here? And essentially, we didn't get to the wrestling point until about 2/3 of the way into that meeting. So setting from a cultural standpoint, who we're going to be and how we're going to treat one another. And then the academic part, you know, because essentially that's why they go to school. You know, that is why they are here. And then from a wrestling standpoint, okay, these are the expectations. These are the things that we should be doing on a daily basis to get us to where we want to go. And with a roster of, well, again, now we're at 13, but getting them acclimated to college wrestling and what that involves is a learning curve and a teaching curve. It's not – we are at the – and again, at the women's this year at the NCAA-sponsored tournament, it's divisions 1, 2, and 3 competing together. So, you know, we just saw Lockhaven this past week. They're a Division 1 program. We'll see the University of Iowa somewhere along the line. But these are our competitors right now, which kind of – for some, it might be a little scary, you know, because these are the best women wrestlers in the country. And if you look at it from a – you know, how many high school wrestlers go on to compete in college? It's about 1%. So letting them know that, one, you're an elite level. You should be proud of that. But with that comes a standard of how you train, how you conduct yourselves on a day-to-day basis. So we've talked a lot about building habits, doing the right things on a daily basis. They've probably heard me say this too much. You know, if you can have that conversation, you look at that honest conversation in the mirror at the end of the day and being like, I've done everything I could today, then that's a good day. And then you have that conversation the next day and you build upon that. So it's, again, they hear me say this a lot, but taking ownership of their career, what they want from their time here at Arcadia. Kind of the non-negotiables for me is showing up prepared with a willingness to work with a positive attitude and energy. Even if they don't have the best technique, if they're coming to practice with that, that's a good day. I want to work with those type of student athletes that have an enjoyment for the sport, because it will come to an end at some point. It will come to an end. You know, if you make the world ladder, that's, you know, top three wrestlers in your weight, but that is that 0.0001. So do we want student athletes of that caliber? Absolutely. And hopefully we can build to there, because I would love to see an Arcadia wrestler, you know, on a world team someday. I really would. But that's we'll get there. We'll get there.
Being a new program, how much does it help you in recruiting, and how much is it something that can kind of hurt you? Because, I mean, I would think there is an excitement for a lot of kids to be the first, to be part of something new. But then there is also, I would imagine, maybe some trepidation that there's nothing to point to that, well, this is how – this is their success. This is how it works. Like, they obviously are going to trust you, but I – you know, if you're looking at this from a cost-benefit analysis, it's like a startup. It could be big or it could not work. Like, did you find in putting together this first roster, the idea of being first, how did it work in your favor or against you, or was it a net neutral?
Probably this year, a net neutral. I've had some pretty in-depth conversations with some high-level talent last year. They came on campus, but at that time, we didn't have singlets yet. When I was showing them, I'm touring them around the facility. It was a construction site, so I'd have to show them, you know, images on my phone or a tablet, you know, and emphasizing one, you'll always have to focus on the academics. So I focus a lot on that. From a wrestling standpoint, letting them know, hey, I've been here before with a part of a building process. I was lucky enough to be part of Ursinus's build with Coach Jamison. So I'd been in a similar position prior. This is also unique that Arcadia has never had wrestling before. So it was kind of a blank slate. So I was letting them know that you could be a founding mother or daughter of a program that will be here for generations and putting your stamp on that. Some girls that was really attractive to them. For some, I could just sense, well, they went other places, but it was just a better fit for them. I think this year, now with girls on the roster and an actual facility and singlets and warm-ups and gear, and like it's a tangible product now. So it makes it a lot more, I think, comforting for them. Okay, they're doing this. I have a wonderful assistant. Hopefully in the next week and a half we'll be adding a volunteer or a part-time assistant, and she could be transformative for this program as well. So now there's just a lot more in place. Again, when I came in, I had a 1, a 3, a 5, and a 10-year plan. I knew that this first year was going to be it's going to be a learning curve for us. Next year, I'll be better at my job, and so will my assistant. And the year after, we'll be better. I think, you know, realistically, I had us kind of hitting our stride around year four, year five. Again, but not thinking too far ahead, having a plan, but focusing on the day to day. Because I think it can be a little bit overwhelming sometime when you're looking at the big picture. So if I was focusing on that, the day to day, it made it a lot more easier and tangible and less emotionally exhausting. Because it's nice to be able to come home and just put the phone down for a little bit and give the boys a hug and catch up on their day. And I want to be able to do that too, and keep it in perspective. Yeah, this is really important to me, building this program and building these relationships and being successful. That is really important from my professional standpoint. But at the end of the – again, there's that expression. At the end of the day, family will it's the most important thing in my life, and I've let my students know that and my assistant coach know that. That if there ever something comes up in that vein, if there's a family emergency, please go take care of that, because that is – to me, that is the most important thing, is the relationship, building that as a unit. But understanding that where they're coming from, they're not just a student athlete. They're not just a wrestler. They are a daughter, a friend. They as Whitman said, they contain multitudes. And I recognize that. So wrestling is really important to me and to the program and what we are building. But it's not everything.
We need to take a break. We will have more with Michael Childs in just a few moments. But right now, I want to remind you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to drive smarter with high-tech features and excellent reliability. It's time for intelligent design plus exciting performance. Get a new vehicle you'll love. Check out the Honda Civic, Accord, or HRV. See dealer for financing details. And now, One-on-One with Matt Leon. Let's get back to our conversation with Michael Childs, head women's wrestling coach at Division III Arcadia University in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania.
Do you feel like, given kind of this unique situation of starting something, your idea of what success is will be different than from other parts of your coaching career?
Good question. My idea, I have kind of two versions of success, and one is, I don't want to say more important than the other, but I'll know I'm successful when the student athlete goes through 4 years of the program and they graduate to either a graduate school or a job, and they come back and be like, hey, coach, I really miss this. That's when I'll see this program as a success. The habits that they've built during their time here, the relationships that they've built and made, that's the important stuff. It really is. Wins and losses, yes, I am competitive. I want to have All-Americans and national champions. That means something. Absolutely. I wouldn't be a coach if I didn't, I don't think you could be a coach if you weren't competitive. So that's important. But in the grand scheme of things, are you a successful person when you graduate and come through this program and have developed those habits? That's the biggest thing for me. Yeah, no doubt about it. I've put a lot of thought into that. Like, what do I want? What do I want for these student athletes that we're working with? It's developing the right habits, building the right relationships. And once they graduate, are they prepared to go into the real world? And, a couple years back, hey, would you want to come back and do it all over again? If they can say yes, then that's success to me.
How much harder would the process of putting this together over the last year and a half have been had you not had the assistance job at Ursinus and been able to kind of be a part of it, see it, and just understand? Because there's just got to be so many things that when you're contemplating taking a job like this that you never think about that you're going to have to make sure is taken care of. Like, to what degree would it have been much harder if you hadn't had the Ursinus experience, you think?
I learned a lot from working with Joe. He's a great guy. I think the coolest part about Joe is and this is not a plug for Ursinus, but Joe Jamison, he's a really good guy. He gets there is a unique care that he has for his athletes that I've been around other coaches that didn't have that. And I really appreciated that. So actually when I was, I don't want to say bidding my farewell, but at the last banquet that I attended, I let them know that my 5 years were very impactful and important for me. And I wanted to kind of take what I had learned there. There's a – that cliche again, but there is a family atmosphere at Ursinus that I wanted to take with me and build at Arcadia. Because that's – I think they've – I've been there from the start of their women's program. And year one at the Princeton Open, they had two girls that won matches. They had won two matches that entire tournament. The next year, I think they won 11. The next year, I think they won like – 15 or 16, had a couple placers. This year they had their first champ. So that was 4 years in the making. But I don't think you get there. You don't get to that point without, again, going through all that. But again, building those relationships and letting them know that, hey, this is – you'll be surrounded by good people here. And that is something I took – that I found instrumental there that I took with me here. And I saw them on Sunday and gave them both hugs. They're assistant coaches. They're great guys too. So one of the assistants now I coached when I was there, he stayed on with the program. I learned a lot there. And previous experiences, you know, it's not so much what you want to do. It's sometimes, okay, I won't do that. And learning what not to do and how not to treat your athletes. That's just as important. Because I've been doing this for quite some time now, and I think that's really important. And it comes down to, again, those relationships and how you treat your athlete. Letting them know that you just see them not just as a wrestler, but as a human. But you also have to hold them accountable. You know, when they're not doing the right thing, either as a wrestler or as a human, okay, then let's have these conversations. Why aren't we doing this? Let's course correct. Let's do better. Yeah, the main thing I learned from my time at Ursinus, besides being there at the start of the women's program, which I was, and that was really neat for me, again, was how you treat your athlete and what that relationship looks like.
So now you referenced your dad earlier when you were talking about coming on board, and your dad, Jack Childs, one of my absolute favorites that I've ever covered in my time here at KYW News Radio. He was a legend at Drexel University, 35 years as the head wrestling coach there. Unfortunately, he passed away March of this year. When you think back growing up, are your earliest memories centered around wrestling given your dad's career?
Yes. You know, I have an older brother. We both wrestled at Drexel together. We were teammates and fighting partners at some point. We both have memories that would on bus trips. The wrestlers would put us up on the luggage rack and we'd have a blanket down there and that's where we'd fall asleep. There's pictures of Jesse when he was a baby. Chris Taylor, the 72 Olympic heavyweight, was holding him in the palm of his hand. You know, I remember seeing Herschel Walker running the stairs at the Meadowlands at the NCAA tournament. And meeting Dan Gable for the first time. And actually, I was like, who's Dan Gable? I didn't know. I mean, I was 6 years old. I quickly found out. And then my uncle, he was an All-American for Penn State, multiple time state champion for a great state of Pennsylvania. So just I grew up in the sport. There's so many cool memories of, you know, my dad's athletes and meeting really high-level wrestlers that I didn't really know. Foxcatcher. Newtown Square, 92, it was the 92 Olympics. They had a training camp there. So we had guys that weren't on the world team, but they flew in for training partners for the Olympic team members. They were staying in our basement. We had a barbecue before they left for Barcelona. Dave Schultz fell asleep in our living room. I've had some really, really cool memories, and I'm very fortunate to have had those. Dad was he was a unique soul, unique spirit, you know, an emotional man. I miss him like crazy. But he taught me a lot. And the biggest thing, and we've had these conversations at when he got out of coaching, when he retired. I asked him, do you miss it? He's like, I miss my guys. I don't miss the commute or the matches or, you know, I miss joking around with them, you know, in the pre-match or, you know, turning the light off in the locker room. That's what he missed. He missed the relationships because he was frank with me. He's like, that's why you get into this. And I've carried that with me. It's the relationship. That's what you're trying to build and establish. And if you can help them along the way, that's what we're here for. You're very fortunate if you can go through life without having regrets. And I've kind of let all my student athletes know that if they can go through these 4 or 5 years at the university or the college, wherever they're at, and not have any regrets, that is that's a great career. Doesn't matter the wins or the losses if you can go through it without, okay, I did everything I could. Again, having those conversations in the mirror at the end of the day. Did I do everything I was supposed to do today? If you can do that, that's a good career.
You ran down all those memories. At what point growing up did you realize like how unique this experience was that you were getting to kind of be front row? Because I think when you're younger, you just think, well, this is what it's like for everybody, isn't it? Like, right. Was there a point where you're like, wow, this is crazy that this is my life, that I get to do these things and meet these people?
It wasn't until, again, perspective and age and all that stuff, but it wasn't until, I think it was Drexel hosted the World Team Trials in 93 or 94 for a long time. It was at the University of Penn in the Palestra. They moved it to the DAC, and I was after you make the team, you know, they're drug tested, and I was a courier for Mark Kerr. So I had to follow him around until he could evacuate. And I was like, oh, I think I was 16 years old, and I'm following this huge, strong, elite athlete around until he could pee. And again, 16 years old, I'm like, this isn't normal. So I think that was, again, I still remember those guys drinking beer in the so they could go. But they were having beers in the staff locker room at Drexel, and just being in there and just sitting in the corner and watching him. Okay, he's right here. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But that's not unique. That's not normal for, you know, a 16-year-old kid. So, and then having these kind of conversations. And I think it was in 1988, went to my first national tournament down at the University of Maryland, being in that venue. And I think since then, I've probably been to 15 since. But seeing that tournament for the first time, remarkable. Again, not too many kids get to do that. Yeah, it was pretty special, pretty lucky. And certainly having my brother along there with me. Great memories of going to the Bloomsburg tournament at the beginning of the year. And we always had a Nerf football with us because tournaments are long. We are, you know, WANs are 6:37 in the morning. The tournament starts at 9:00, and we liked wrestling, but after 4 hours of wrestling, we're young kids. So, okay, we find an empty space in the gym or go outside and throw the football around and come back in and cheer the Drexel guys on a little bit more and then go outside and throw the football around. Because I'd been doing that since probably from the age of 6 through, you know, when you start competing in seriously in high school. So for those 6, 7, 8 years, my weekends were spent with Drexel wrestling, which was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Did having your dad be a high-level coach and having these experiences, did it make you being a wrestler easier or harder?
Good question. A bit of both, to be honest. And this is my dad, his career at Drexel was really unique. I mean, there's 78, 79 Division I programs, with Drexel being one of them. Dad was a football player in college. He found a passion for wrestling. You know, his history is kind of unique. Wrestled intramurals at Ithaca and then transferred to East Stroudsburg. Really enjoyed this sport. I think he won the intramural tournament at Ithaca. And then when he transferred to East Stroudsburg, he wanted to stay in shape for spring ball. So he contacted the coach. Hey, could I come out and join, work out with you guys? Coach was like, sure. Strong, tenacious, you know, bigger guy. So you can always need a heavyweight training partner. But his main sport was football, but he had a passion for wrestling. And then after he graduated from East Stroudsburg and got into coaching, kind of realized the football coaching trajectory. It's 1 to 2 years here, 1 to 2 years there. It's a nomadic position until you get to the place where you want to be. Family was really important to him. He didn't think that would have been a great way to kind of build and raise a family. He wanted that stability there. And then a position opened up at Stevens Trade, and he wanted to coach in college, and this came up, and he was a college wrestling coach with relatively limited coaching experience in the sport of wrestling. Dad was really unique that he was a a wonderful motivator. Again, he had a way of personally connecting with his athletes. He was incredibly organized, sometimes overly so, ordering pizzas 3 months in advance. Yeah, he was a piece of work. So, but his teams at Stevens Trade did remarkably well. I think over 6 or 7 years when he was there, he was 89-11. So, and then Drexel came calling, and it was let's take another step. But I know he had these conversations with mom. Hey, this would require a move to Philadelphia. And okay, what does the school district look like? So, he was really passionate about coaching, but also really passionate about us as well and making sure we were okay. And yeah, he loved it. He loved it. So back to that, was wrestling harder or easier? And I'll say both. Because it was, I had this Division I wrestling coach as a father, and he was demanding, and we'd go in, I don't know if it's allowed now, but when I was in high school, we'd come in for college practices every once in a while, and getting the opportunity to work, you know, with the next level, that was certainly helpful. It made me realize, okay, I really need to work on XYZ. So that was very helpful at the same time. You know, through the recruiting process, there might not have been some schools that reached out because, okay, they know he's going to Drexel too. I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's quite possible. But it was, for the most part, it was definitely an advantage just to, again, to grow up in this sport. And clearly I've developed a passion for it. You know, I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
So when you go to Drexel, what was it like to wrestle for your dad? Was it ever tricky? Where does dad end and coach begin? And did you take a while to find your pace with that?
During practice, he was coach. After that, it was dad. And sometimes those lines got blurred a little bit. You know, we were both doing our best. Nobody's perfect. He knew Jesse and I very well, more than the other wrestlers that he knew pretty well. But he knew kind of what buttons to push. I remember one time I was post-Christmas, I was the backup. So we were going down to Virginia for a tri-meet or a quad, I forget which. But I knew I was going to get a couple matches at 158 as the backup. Post-Christmas, that weigh-in is not easy just because you're off for a little bit and the holidays are there. So I remember really struggling to make weight. And he came in and, frankly, where are we? I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And he looked at me, he's like, fine, call your mother and have her come pick you up. I made the weight. And then in a cruel twist of fate, the team that I was going to wrestle against did not have a 58-pounder, so I wrestled 67. But he knew what buttons to push. And sometimes, looking back, I was angry. Or in the moment, I was angry. Looking back, I understand it. And again, from his perspective, you grow older, you mature a little bit. I realized what he was trying to do. He was looking out for my best interest, even if I couldn't see that at the time.
So I think you said 3 shoulder surgeries. Was that all during college?
And then 1 when I was at Davidson. Yeah, so I'm on 4 right now.
Was it basically kind of the same problem that?
Yes, constant dislocation. So I've had reconstruction on left and right twice. On my last one, they were like, "You're going to need a replacement soon. Stop wrestling." I'm like, okay, good luck with that.
So how much of your college career was just spent trying to recover from these surgeries? And I can only imagine the level of frustration that must have led to.
Yeah, very frustrating. Essentially, my freshman year was my only real healthy year. And there I still tore some ligaments in my knee. Yeah, college wrestling is hard. But it was very frustrating. I couldn't wrestle the way I knew how or how I had been wrestling. So you have to make those adjustments. So, you know, if I took a shot that wasn't well penetrated and get extended, like I couldn't hang on anymore. So I had to kind of reevaluate how I wrestled. A lot of fake snap, go behinds, like a short offense became kind of where I needed to be because I just couldn't get in positions of extension anymore with my shoulders. And that was hard because, you know, yeah, I'd like to be offensive and take attacks and leg attacks. So, yeah, it was hard to adjust. And I still remember my last practice, and I was pretty decent at ankle picks, and I got extended, and I hit an ankle pick. The guy was getting taken down, and my shoulder blew out again, and that was it. I still remember that, where I was in the room, who I was wrestling. I was like, wow, this is it. Because I couldn't wrestle the way I wanted to anymore. I just couldn't. And I wasn't technically good enough to continue. You know, I had some forms of success because I was strong and I was in shape and I was aggressive. There's a lot of kind of ways to make your way in this sport. That's how I found success on the mat, was through that. And I just couldn't – my body – I don't want to say my body gave out, but I just couldn't compete the way I wanted to anymore. So that was all right, what's the next thing? And that's when Friend Select opened up. I still had a passion for it. But there was honestly, there was that whole identity thing. Okay, I'm not a wrestler anymore. Who am I? So going through that, you know, that's helpful now as a coach. And when I talked earlier about keeping things in perspective – so, and again, not just recognizing the student athlete as a wrestler. Okay, you're also a student and a daughter or a son, and you know there's more to you than just a wrestler. And we're always going to be looking at the big picture. So that has helped me kind of where I am now with these athletes.
To that point, you think, let's say your college career as a wrestler goes according to plan, whatever that, you know, the level of success, but you're able to compete as you want to compete for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Do you think I'm talking to you now as a coach?
Part of me, yes. Part of me, no. You know, because I think it's sometimes if you check that box, all right, well, then what's next? I never got to check that box in college. So, but I love wrestling. I don't know if I would have ever strayed too far from it. I just, it's, as my mom would say, you can take the coach out of wrestling, you can't take wrestling out of the coach. And that's kind of where I am now. Again, physically, my hips are starting to go a little bit. I feel that in the morning. My knees, like it's wrestling is not easy. So it does take a toll physically, but it's just such a cool sport. It really is. And the people that you meet in it are even cooler. Yeah, because again, it comes back to that relationship, right?
Time for another break. More with Michael Childs coming up. But right now, I want to remind you once again that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on that new Honda. It's time to drive smarter with high-tech features and excellent reliability. It's time for intelligent design plus exciting performance. Get a new vehicle you'll love. Check out the Honda Civic, Accord, or HRV. See dealer for financing details. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with Michael Childs. How much, as a coach, are you like your dad, if at all?
I want to say a kinder, gentler version, but no, there's definitely my dad in me, 1,000%. That's, and I embrace that because he is and was a remarkable man. Probably a better technician than he, just because I grew up in the sport when he started in college. He had a gift of, again, talking and connecting that I'm still learning and still kind of, I don't want to say finding my voice because I think I found it, but I also have to give a shout out to my mom, you know, being raised by her as a first grade teacher. She's a very unique soul. The way that those two kind of connected and raised my brother Jesse, my sister Beth, and I think I'm a good combination of both. Again, I probably quote my mom more to my athletes than I do my dad. And they were both very quotable. And my dad, again, he was some aren't probably good for on air. Again, he had a wonderful sense of humor and the way he could motivate. But yeah, I think I'm a really good combination of both because my mom was in education too. My dad, he considered himself an educator. That's where he was, you know, that was his degree, a degree in a master's in education. So it was, yeah, I come from educators. And I think that's what I'm, as a psychology major, I'm blending all those backgrounds. But no, there's that accountability part. That's definitely dad, that kinder, gentler version of it. I think that's more of my mom. So it's, I'm pretty fortunate to have had the parents that I do because they are, they're wonderful people.
Mentioned, we talked earlier about like the dynamic of being a a wrestler for your dad. What, wrestling with your brother on the team, how many years did you guys spend as teammates?
Two in high school, and then I guess it would have been three in college.
Did that present its own unique challenges, having your brother as a teammate?
I mean, there wasn't a time where once we got to high school, like every match that we were in, it ended in a fight. It just did. You know, it just – it did. Because he, as the older brother, and I'm having success, and, you know, as he's always the older brother, and, you know, he's always going to – I don't want to say put his thumb down, but, like, if I'm starting to – you know, if I got a takedown on him, the next one, I'm coming in for that shot, I'm getting an elbow. And you wouldn't have done that to your other buddy, but you're doing it to me because you're keeping me in my place. As he should, though. You know, no fault there. But, yeah, for the last 5 years, if we were going live, it would end in a fight. Absolutely. We'd have to be pulled apart.
So what is that dynamic like on top of dad being the coach? There's a lot going on there.
It was fun. It was fun. So I think dad, again, wrestling is a combat sport with rules. So you need that level of energy and, I don't want to say dog on a bone mentality, but that makes a successful wrestler. So he kind of embraced that, but also at the same, it was a fine line. Okay, you're competitors, but at the same time, you're also brothers. I don't know if Jesse knows this or not. If he listens to it, he will. Jesse was my freshman year. Jesse was the starter at 150. I had been wrestling 158. And as the wrestling season continues, they didn't have the certification process that they do now in place. I was shrinking. I was getting smaller. And I wanted to challenge my brother off for the 150 spot because I felt I was ready. Dad said, no, I'm not doing that. He's like, this is more important than that. So that kind of gives you an idea, Dad. Like, he, you know, that's your brother's spot. You'll get your time. So, yeah, I remember going into his office and asking him. He said, no. So, which is probably a good thing. You know, looking back, that was the right call. At the time, I didn't understand it because I felt I was ready. And, you know, you're a selfish athlete and you're ready to get after it. And, okay, you're denying me an opportunity. But, again, that comes back to the relationship. That is more important. And he recognized that. I didn't at the time because 18, 19 years old. So that was, that definitely stands out. Yeah, he made the right call.
When you start coaching, did the relationship with your dad, I don't know if change is different, but, like, when you're kind of now you're – your peers, you're both wrestling coaches. Did the dynamic alter at all?
Like me as a coach?
Yeah, once you start coaching, yep. At friends, and you know, mm-hmm. But you're a wrestling coach now. Yep. Did you feel like you were having conversations with your dad that you'd never had before and stuff like that?
Yeah, just again, how do you approach your athlete? How do you communicate, okay, this is what we're trying to do and this is what you're doing? How to have that conversation in a way where it's not threatening or it feels like you're demeaning them or you're just trying to figure out that athlete. And when I started coaching, I was still relatively young too. I was 22. And when they're in high school, if it was a senior, they're 18 years old. So it's not a huge difference in age. So, but yes, having those conversations, how would you approach this? If this is the situation, whether it be weight or family or grades or whatever it would be, how do you approach that situation? You know, and then afterwards, he was always like, you finished a match or tournament. He was always my first phone call. Okay, how did it go? This is what happened. This was great. This is what, and then, okay, why did that happen? He definitely was a sounding board because he had so much experience. And that was the, not to get too emotional here, but that was the weird thing on Sunday. It was the first time I had been in a competition where I went to call him and I was like, oh, I'll just call mom, you know, cause he always wanted to hear it. And I could hear again, dad was an emotional man. So he could tell when he was happy cause his voice would well up and like, he'd be almost on the verge of tears just cause he was so happy. So I miss that. I do. But yeah, dad was a wonderful sounding board for me. Yeah. Cause he had also had a passion for the sport and had a passion for the student athlete and clearly a passion for his family.
What are you most excited about seeing come to fruition? Because like now you've got you've had competition, mm-hmm. so that's like a giant program yep. box check. But like as this grows, as it comes together, what are you most excited to see for Arcadia Women's Wrestling?
This year is a year of firsts, right? Sunday, we're hosting our first event, our first wrestling match. It's a tri-meet. We have McDaniel and Alvernia coming in. So that will be the first time an Arcadia-branded wrestling mat will be competed on in an alumni gymnasium. That's a really cool thing. We have a social planned afterwards. That's a neat thing. The first MAC Women's Championships, that's coming up February 1st. That is definitely marked on our calendar. And then our first regional tournament, our national qualifying tournament. So that will be another huge first for us. And then hopefully we have a girl that makes it to the national tournament because it's the first NCAA division, first NCAA sponsored tournament. I would love to have a competitor there to be able to coach there for – I've coached there on the Division I men's side. Would love to be able to have an athlete represent Arcadia, being an Arcadia singlet on the national stage at the national tournament in Iowa in March. Would love that. So those are the big things that I'm looking for. But along the way, every, you know, in 2 weeks, we're at the Wilkes Women's Open and then the Misericordia invite. And then we're going out to York in the beginning of December. Then we have a bit of a break. But each one of those events will be a first time for us. And they each hold their own special meaning. But it's, again, at the end of the day, it's just another wrestling tournament. It's another opportunity for us as coaches to evaluate and see where we're – this is where we're doing great. This is where we need to improve, you know, because this year, it's a year of growth. It's a year of firsts. And each practice, we're seeing that. It's only been 3 full weeks of practice. And where we started to where we are, a lot of progress has already been made. And to continue that and extrapolate that across the next 3.5 months, I think we could surprise some people. I really do. We got some girls that are buying in. They're doing the right things on a daily basis to get them to where they want to go and to where we want to go. Because they hear me say this frequently. It's not the 2 hours in the wrestling room. It's the other 22 hours of your day. There's a saying, everybody's doing double legs at 4. So what are you doing with the rest of your day that will separate you from your opponents? And we talk about that frequently.
Final question. What do you want people that watch your program wrestle against your program? What is like the number one takeaway you want for them when they come in contact or compete with Arcadia Women's Wrestling?
One, they're physical. They're well prepared. They are moving forward. After that, how do they treat their teammates? How do they treat their coaches? How do they treat their family members? Arcadia in general. But as a wrestler, wow, Arcadia, they move forward. That's what we're looking to do, move forward. Not just on you can extrapolate that again too, but on the wrestling mat, moving forward in life, moving forward.
Michael Childs, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. That was fun.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Michael Childs, head women's wrestling coach at Arcadia University in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, for coming in studio and being our guest this week. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. It would really help us out. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well, at Matt Leon 1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next time when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.